Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'd like to read again for you Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great King over all the earth. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with a psalm. God reigns over the nations, God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people gather as the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. This is our text. Back at the beginning of Lent, in late February, probably not a time that we have very fond memories of now that spring has rolled around, but back when Lent began, we heard the account of the temptation of our Lord. You might recall that Satan, out in the wilderness, Satan tempted Jesus three times. And as Matthew tells us of the temptation, the third one was this. The devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I'll give you if you'll fall down and worship me." All the kingdoms of the earth, all power and authority. Take it or leave it whether you trust that Satan could deliver on that promise, but he's certainly laying out this idea in front of our Lord's eyes. And you know how it went. Jesus said, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." He didn't give in to the temptation. But that doesn't mean that our Lord isn't meant for authority and power over the earth. When we come to the ascension of our Lord, it feels to me like we come back full circle. Not the authority and the power that the devil offered our Lord, but the true authority that he has and that belongs to him, as the very Son of God, crucified, risen, and ascended on high. What we celebrate today in the ascension of our Lord is the enthronement of our Lord upon the throne of heaven. I like to think of it as the moment in which the guy that we know, the one who comes from our area, has made it to the highest level. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and he exercises the authority that he has been given for the sake of his people. We know the man who is on the throne. And even more than that, the man who is on the throne knows us, and he loves us and cares for us, for he still has the wounds that reminds him of what he paid to redeem you and me. The psalm that we heard, Psalm 47, is a psalm of assurance and hope, and I would say most of all, a psalm of praise. Sometimes it seems to me that we focus so much on our own sins or the way that we have fallen short that we neglect to praise our God and remember who he is above all and who he is especially for us. Our God reigns. Our Lord is the one seated on the throne. He is the one ruling over all things. We go through our daily lives pulled this way and that by our own issues and struggles. We go through daily life up and down as we watch what's happening in the world around us. And all the while, the one who is on the throne is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is reigning and who is ruling. I think sometimes that we have the issue that we both forget that our Lord is reigning and ruling. We act as if there is no king on the one hand, And on the other hand, we act as if we are each our own king. We get to decide for ourselves. We get to rule our own lives, our own bodies, our own time. The last thing I need to do, honestly, is to be ruler of myself. I need our Lord to be my ruler and my king and my Lord. Not only do we need him to be our ruler, but we also sometimes crave rule and authority and power, thinking that if only we or only our people were in authority and power, then good things would come. I could imagine one in our Lord's position when he was tempted by the devil thinking, well, I know the devil means to give me all authority and power for wicked and bad, but perhaps I could just bow down and then I could use that power and that authority for good. Think about all that I could do. I could even thwart Satan himself. But it doesn't work that way. If we crave the power and authority that comes from Satan, if we seek after a rule in this world, then we are likely ourselves to become subject to another power and another ruler. Let us look to the one who is king, enthroned above, and let us worship and honor him, and not forget day in and day out, not only on Sunday morning is he the one enthroned, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday he is as well, ruling over the world for our good. St. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8 that all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. All things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. It can be a really hard thing to hear when you're going through a difficult and challenging time and you're wondering, how is this all working for my good? We will not always see it. But we believe that it is always true. It is an article of faith, and an article of faith that we believe because we trust in Jesus who gave his life for us and rose from the dead. Let us live not as if we are our own kings. Let us live not as if there were no king, but let us live with him as the true king and ruler of all. God reigns. That's the message of Psalm 47. Thinking especially about God reigning over his people Israel and reigning for his people Israel in the time of the Old Testament. How he cared for them and delivered them and subdued nations under their feet. We can think about the Exodus, in which God, through 10 plagues, triumphed over the gods of Egypt and the powers of Egypt and brought his people out of slavery. Or we can think of the way that our Lord led his people into the promised land, driving the pagan nations out and establishing them as his people. God has gone up with a shout, was a cry that was probably sung and spoken as the people of Israel headed up the mountain to the temple, perhaps following the Ark of the Covenant as it returned to its resting place. God has gone up with a shout. God is on the throne. He is reigning and ruling, and he has become king over all the world. Psalm 47 is not only a description of the way it was in the Old Testament, but it is a prophecy of Christ. That our Lord would become ruler, would become king, would be enthroned, and consider how. Without a battle, without fighting by means of earthly weapons, he would be enthroned with shouts and songs and trumpet calls. He would be enthroned on the praises of Israel. Which is a really different way than other kings come to their thrones. They come by murder and by intrigue, by slaughter and victory. But our Lord comes to his throne on the praises of his people. So it was in Psalm 47. God has gone up with a shout. Sing the praises of the Lord. Sing to our King. And when Jesus himself ascended into heaven after 40 days of showing himself alive in the body, he went up to the awe and praises of his disciples. It says that after Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples went home praising God and rejoicing in what he had done. They weren't sad by his ascension. They didn't go into hiding and take cover again. They praised his name, and they remained in Jerusalem awaiting the gift that he had promised, the coming of the Holy Spirit, which we will celebrate again next Sunday. Our Lord goes up into heaven. He takes his throne on the praises of his people. And it is the joyful preaching of the gospel that accompanies our Lord and carries out his reign and rule over the earth. Every time we gather to hear our Lord's word read and preached, every time we have a baptism, as we will this evening for Lucas Weston, every time we gather at the throne of our God, the Holy Communion, our Lord is reigning and ruling over his people. He is reigning not only from heaven, but from here as well, and taking his rule into our hearts and into our lives. Our Lord ascends to the throne through the preaching of his word. He's done this before as well. I mentioned God leading his people Israel into the promised land. And you might remember the very first city they come to after they cross the Jordan River is a city named Jericho. Do you remember how Jericho was taken? They marched around the city, and then they marched around the city the next day, and they marched around it the next day, and on the seventh day they marched around the city seven times, and you might think it was a matter of intimidation, a matter of getting the people scared enough that they would give up, but it was not. When they finished their seventh march around the city, it was not with cannons or weapons that they fought, but they shouted to God on high, and the walls came tumbling down. God has gone up with a shout, with the preaching of his word, the proclamation of his forgiveness, and the joy of his people. God has gone up with a shout, not to be far away, but to be present with us. There are some Christians who think that the ascension of Jesus means that he is bodily far away, that he is stuck someplace at the right hand of the Father, and that we do not have access to our Lord according to his human nature. And they would say especially that because he is at the right hand of the Father, he cannot be present in his body and blood in Holy Communion. We think exactly the opposite. We believe that it's the ascension of our Lord that does not take him far away, but makes it possible for him to be present with us, even right here in his body and blood. Because his human nature has been taken up into the fullness of the Godhead, he can now be present here with us in his body and blood, and not only here, but in altars and churches around the world and throughout time. Because he ascended on high as king, he can be present here as king for us, true God and true man. St. Paul writes to the Ephesians, our second reading today, that he writes so that they would know the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. He wants us to know the hope to which he has called you. And what is that hope? It is not a hope for Christ alone, but a hope for us as well. His ascension on high means that he has made a way into heaven for us as well. Where the king goes, there his people will follow. Where the king establishes his kingdom, there his people will be with him as well. Or as Jesus said in the Gospel of John, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, then I will come again and take you, that you might be where I am. And so the angel said, this Jesus who ascended, who is hidden from the sight of his church, but remains present with us, he will come again, visibly, in a way that every eye will see and every tongue will confess. And the hope that we have will then be revealed. And those are the riches of the glorious inheritance that we have in the saints. A glorious inheritance belongs to us. A kingdom that will never perish, spoil, or fade. Won for us by our Lord Jesus Christ, accomplished by his suffering, death, and resurrection. Our inheritance is held for us in heaven, and it will be given to us in due time. So do not lose heart with your own life as you're pulled this way or that. Do not lose heart as you see the world going up and down, but remember what belongs to you. And remember as well the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. The power of our God and his authority he puts to use for the sake of his people. It's not just that our God is powerful, but that he is powerful in mercy and in grace toward us. How does he use that power for us? He uses it to forgive your sins. He uses it to promise you life and salvation. He uses it to restart you again as a new creation in him. And this is the reason why the church enthrones the Lord on their praises. Why our service today is full of praise to our God, joy in our King, the announcement of his ascension and the looking toward his coming again in glory. It is not for us only, but it is for all people. Psalm 47 tells us that our Lord is enthroned for all the world as King over all nations, and he desires that all would believe in him and come to know his name. And this is why the preaching of forgiveness, repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name began in Jerusalem after his ascension, but has spread out around the entire world, even reaching us here, that his praises may also be on our lips, that he might be enthroned in our lives and hearts as well. And so let us join with the praises of the saints of all times and all places in singing praises to our King who is enthroned, who is ruling and reigning and gracious and forgiving, and who is coming again, who is bringing his promised salvation for all nations, including for us, who has ascended on high that he might be with us now and come again in glory. And so Psalm 47, one more time, hearing these words of great praise in the ascension of our Lord. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud shouts, songs of joy. For the Lord the Most High is to be feared, a great King over all the earth. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with a psalm. God reigns over the nations, God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Alleluia, Christ ascended on high. He ascended indeed. Alleluia.